This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. This is Love Sport.
I have to think it's really odd, you know. I think, what was it, started like 3 games in 18 months, and, you know, when the team lineup was announced, I'm thinking, oh, hang on a minute, you know, I wouldn't have thrown him in here, you know. It's not like we've got a game midweek or anything, you know, we didn't need to rest any legs. Yes, we played on Wednesday night, but we did have the extra day, unlike, you know, when teams may be playing Europe and other cup competitions where you might be expected to play on the Saturday. So, yeah, I don't think there was any need to throw him in. I'd rather have seen him maybe get 20 minutes towards the end. I'm not saying that, you know, obviously the result would have been any different. I do think, and I tweeted that I thought he was probably most culpable for the first two as an individual. But I just didn't understand. Well, there's clearly a player in there. He did very well at Leicester. He earned his move to Chelsea. He got his big money move. And obviously, you know, a number of different managers came in at Chelsea and he wasn't their sort of player. There's obviously a good player in there, and we'll just have to see what he can do. Obviously, Tyrone Mings did the same as Dino said. You know, he came here, got regular football, and now he's one of the first names on the team sheet. So let's hope that Drinkwater can do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to get on to the recruitment and the players, because I know it's a big theme at the minute with the Villa show. Just quickly, though, was it a free? I know we said last week it was a free hit, and, you know, the season isn't defined on the Liverpool results, the City results. And obviously it was such a good performance in the week. Were you expecting this on Sunday? Because it did come left field, because that Leicester performance was a good one in the week, wasn't it? And they're still in that tie. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I said last week it was a free hit. I don't like saying that at all, but really it was. You know, I think the main thing is for us, we don't have anyone who can hold up the ball, excluding Grealish. We don't really have any players that can really run with the ball, and we don't have enough creativity in the team for us to have our own profound spells in the attacking third. And for me, it's really that simple. And whilst I understand the way in which we set up yesterday is we don't have any strikers, and the three centre-halves work so well against Burnley and Leicester, as you referred to there. The issue being is that when it's not working out, then it makes it extremely difficult to revert to any other shape. You know, Dino, for me, sent those players out on a hiding to nothing. You know, it might as well have been a kamikaze mission, to be honest.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And on that Dean Smith debate, I've got to be honest, you know, I know he's a Villa fan and he got you promoted, and I'm actually a fan of him, and I do believe Villa will not get relegated this year. I think he'll pull them through, but I'm hearing a little whispers, and we know social media can always be a bit toxic at the best of times and create a lively debate. But a few people today, you know, saying that maybe Villa should be taking a little bit of a change. You know, he's not the man maybe to take him to that next level, keep him up, and on the recruitment. His recruitment hasn't been good, but I don't know if that's all at his doorstep. Where do you stand on it all?
I'm sure we'll come on to recruitment shortly, but which I have a bit to say. If we were going to make a change, really, we had to do it, you know, before January. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, the key thing was the Burnley result. Had we had lost to Burnley following that disastrous 3-0 defeat against 10-man Watford, then, you know, we might be in a whole different, we might be talking about a whole different manager currently coming into Villa, etc. But we're midway through January. We can't do it now, and I think he'll at least remain here till the end of the season.
Yeah, I do have to agree with you. Do you put then all the summer signings, the money that Villa have spent, there's been word of financial fair play, and is that the right way to do it? Sticking with the team that got you to promotion. But you're saying the recruitment, big, big problems, Ryan.
Yeah, whilst I appreciate that we had no choice but to add a multitude of bodies, and that you can't spend upwards of 15 to 20 million on every single signing. You know, we're Aston Villa, you know. You've got to ask, you know, what did we make the most? Did we really make the most of that 130 million odd pound that we spent in the summer? Probably not. Myself, like many fans, could foresee the issues that we had up top and the lack of bodies, along with the lack of quality out wide, flair players, if you will. These are players that create things and score goals, and whilst not directly defending, like I was saying a minute ago, ultimately they are part of your defensive armoury in a sense that they relieve the pressure on the back line. Now, it would appear that based on certain rumours that many of the players brought in weren't Dino's picks and they were more so Suso's, the sporting director. Now, I've never been a huge fan of sporting directors, and I doubt most managers are either. But the majority of managers will want to go out and sign their own players with an input from those that are close to him and those that he trusts. And whilst at Brentford, Dino had a great recruitment record, you know, buying on the cheap and selling at sky-high prices, something that obviously we know all about, having wasted £12 million on Scotty Hogan. But, you know, at Brentford, he had two directors of football in Ankerson and Phil Giles, you know, and it did seem to work. And in our case, it probably worked similarly, but our recruitment hasn't been good, relatively speaking. Because of the decisions that were made in the summer, we're now in the market for a striker, possibly two strikers, at a time where it's notoriously difficult to get decent forwards. And not only that, but at a time when you have to try and get a striker who wants to come to a club that are fighting to stay in the league. And that's really hard. And Suso and those paid to make those decisions on the recruitment front really need to take a long, hard look at themselves, in my opinion. You know, instead, we're signing goalkeepers right, left and centre, you know?
Yeah, well, let's get on those goalkeepers then, because obviously you signed, you look like you're signing Pepe Reina, who could come straight into the side. I've got to be honest, he's a bit of a left field signing as well. 37, obviously familiar from his time at Liverpool, now playing for AC Milan and obviously coming to Villa. What are you making of this sign? Can he still cut it?
Well, he's been confirmed now. I don't know whether you know that, but maybe about half an hour before we came on air. Yeah, I was watching his welcome interview before I came on air. Yeah, I mean, I think Nyland might see himself hard done by what with Pepe Reina coming in, as he did do well in the cup games versus Liverpool and Leicester, and for the large part he's actually done all right when he's covered Heaton. You know, his shot stopping hasn't greatly improved since last season. That has greatly improved, but his distribution for me leaves a lot to be desired, and that's a big problem, especially in the modern game. I think when you take Pepe Reina, yes. You know, he's got bags of experience. I think from the defender side of things, I think they'll feel a lot more comfortable looking behind and seeing someone, you know, a Champions League winner, you know, a Spanish international, former Spanish international goalkeeper behind them than someone like Nyland. You know, do I think a goalkeeper was a priority for us? Definitely not. But I sort of understand as to why Dino's hand was forced to a degree, at least.
Yeah, forced to a degree, obviously, making signings. We're obviously expecting Villa to be busy in this transfer window, obviously trying to keep their Premier League status. How is, I don't want to say the divide amongst fans at the minute, but obviously now sliding into relegation, obviously 4-0 down at half-time. What are the fans making? Are they sensing that this second half of the season is going to be a close one and there's a little bit more worry in the air, right?
Yeah, I think it's starting to get a bit toxic. I think Villa itself is as this. It does have a bit of a toxic fan base, to be honest. And I don't want to be rude, you know. Following Villa, I've met many, many fine people, whether it be to do with blogging, radio stuff, media work, whatever it may be.
I'm glad you're
I've met many fine Villa fans, but overall, it is quite it can be quite toxic, especially on social media, you know. But yeah, there is a bit of a divide. I think there has been for a little while in terms of those that are backing Smith, those that aren't. I think the majority are obviously behind the team. Ultimately, though, Charlie, I mean, we are 1 point inside the drop zone. You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world. We're still well within it. We're only a handful of points away from, you know, mid-table. You know, it's a 16-game season now. That's how I see it. And ultimately, we need to find 18 points from it. Maybe 16 might be enough. I think it could be a year where we do need to hit that 40-point mark. But yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no, it's a really interesting point you make about, obviously, the 16-game season now. Villa are going to need to make sure that they find themselves in the right form at the higher end of that table. When we come back, we're going to be talking about social media and the influence it has on players and fans, and a look towards the next game, and that is, of course, Brighton.
Love Sport. This is Love Sport.
Yeah, absolutely. It is always a tricky one because fans can understand and appreciate that maybe sometimes players that they want a new scenery, you know, a change of direction, maybe a chance to play for another club, and maybe you grant them and send them on with the best wishes. But on social media, it's so difficult because as fans, you know, we want that instant access. We want to be able to directly, you know, maybe talk to a player and have them read that message, the potential of them seeing that message and interacting with us, replying, or when they say, great win today, lads, you know, we're up for this derby on the weekend. At core, they really want us to they want to beat Birmingham just as much as we do, or West Brom just as much as we do. We absolutely love it. But there is another side to it, as you mention it, when there is this side liking other things or they say certain other things, it can lead to a toxic nature amongst fans. Sometimes they get in trouble for almost what they haven't said rather than what they have said. It's very dangerous to toe that line, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most infamous one for us would be Julian Lescott, who obviously tweeted the car after that Liverpool defeat in our relegation season. But no, I mean, social media has become a massive part of fan culture for players as well. You know, they certainly. I don't admire being a celebrity or a footballer in this day and age. What with you know social media and such, and you know, for the players that stay off of it, you know, I certainly do admire them because there must be a certain amount of pressure to particularly build a brand. You know, when you talk about the amount of money that you can get from sponsorships and such, and so if they aren't on it, perhaps they might not be inclined to get those sponsorships. But yeah, certainly fan wise, you know, I do see a lot of, you know, I like to have a debate as much as anyone, and I'll have sensible debate, you know, but I do see some very toxic things on there, and it can be a very ugly environment, it must be said.
Well, this is it, because it's not just even on Jack Grealish. I mean, you could be debating over that. Some fans won't mind, other fans will. Then, like you said, you get into a debate about it, but it splits the camp even on Villa's fans, because, you know, some will say, like yourself, oh, it was a free hit on the weekend, even though I don't want to say it like that, but we've got to concentrate on the games that are coming up and the teams that are around us and chase the points then. And then someone else would agree in it. It can only use as a tool to sometimes divide fans even further when you're trying to be, want of a better word, but put on that united front and go in the same direction.
Yeah, and for those that do kind of like media work, whether it be podcasts, blogs, vlogs, etc., whether it be Aston Villa or any other football club, you know, it must be said, I've seen some really ugly things, including myself. You know, I'm not going to go too much into detail that have been said and stuff that just goes way over the line. You know, is I'm not gonna sit there and have a pop at anyone, you know, for having their opinion. If I don't find what they're saying, you know, for as long as they're not being offensive. But yeah, sometimes it goes beyond that, and that's not. It's not pretty, and you know, these people, not necessarily myself, more so, you know, I know a lot of people that obviously do a lot of stuff and fan pages for other clubs as well as Aston Villa, and they put themselves on the line. You know, it's not like, you know, many of us don't get paid or anything like that or whatever. We just kind of half enjoy, you know, what, well, we obviously enjoy talking about football, but maybe a little bit of notoriety, call it what you will, you know. It's not right that you can get dogs abused for it, you know. I just think, be respectful, that's all.
Yeah, that's the key word of the day, right? Be respectful. Be kind to one another. That's what me and you have done. And look, we've landed a primetime show.
Make love, not war.
Yeah, we've moved up on a Monday night. Well, let's look at the game now with Brighton on the weekend, because it is a massive one. I don't want to say, you know, maybe a six-pointer, but it's huge for Villa. And this is it. This is the games that they need to win. Teams in and around them. How vital is this matchup on the weekend, right?
Oh, huge. I don't know how I'll be able to do it yet. The missus and I are going down on Friday night, and we're going to be there till Sunday. Obviously, dragging her along to the football under the guise that we're going to the seaside.
She's
for the
a
weekend.
Lucky lady. You know how to treat people right, let me tell you.
I've managed to persuade her to go to the seaside in January of all months.
And, no, and if one Pablo Pichar wasn't enough, now she's getting a weekend watching Villa, so...
I'm not sure how I've managed to convince her, you know, that we're just, you know, going down there for a weekend beside the seaside. But it will mainly be about the football. Now, I think we need to put the City game behind us. You know, I think it, you know, whilst it all seems doom and gloom when you're in the bottom three, as I said earlier on, you know, we're not far off. We mustn't, you know, before the ball's kicked, we're literally 3 points behind Brighton, and they're in 14th spot. So, you know, if we go and beat them, we're level on points with them. You know, they're a bit like us earlier on in the season, Brighton, in the sense that when they get beat, they don't get beat heavily. You know, you look at their results. Everton 1-0 at the weekend, a credible point against Chelsea. Narrowly lost to Spurs 2-1. Narrowly lost to Liverpool 2-1. Narrowly lost to Sheffield United 1-0. Draw against Palace and so forth. The point is that they're always in the game, and it's obviously going to be a tough one for us. You know. I just hope by then that we have a centre-forward, because, by God, do we need an outlet. We need to do what we did in that first half against Burnley and ask questions of the opposition. If you don't ask questions, probe and get some jabs in, then the simple thing is you won't win football matches. And it's against sides like these, as you say, that we've got half a sniff. And we just have to be a lot braver. You know, defensively, we know they're going to be strong. You know, Duncan Webster at the back, and we're not going to get much change in the air. And up top, for them at least, it'll be about keeping, you know, Aaron Moy, Neil Maupay quiet, along with that Iranian fella who seems to have found a bit of form, and no, Charlie, I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name, you know, the one that scored a couple recently.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if you don't pronounce it, that means I have to try, and I always try to get out with you doing it. But just on that three game stretch, right, because it's Brighton, then it's Watford, I know a Leicester game sandwiched in the middle, but then it's Bournemouth, and this is a huge three game stretch, isn't it?
Absolutely massive. You know, Watford at home on the Tuesday, the 21st. I think it's Tuesday night game.
He's
and then, yeah, Bournemouth. At home, sorry. And then Bournemouth away on Saturday the 1st. I haven't got the missus to come with me to that one. She bailed on that one. Just like Brighton, you know, it's these games that we need to go and look to win. You know, you only have to look at Southampton, who are on, you know, a mad one at the moment, and they're actually closer to the top four than they are with the bottom three now. You know, they've gone through, you know, great adversity, the 9-0 against Leicester, among other poor showings, and come out of it the other side. And if I were Dino, I'd be using, you know, Saints as an example of what we need to try and go and do.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, you mentioned that 16-game season, but it's more on the next three games. We'll definitely get a clearer idea there. But on the Brighton one, Ryan, what is your score prediction?
1-1.
I don't know why I feel a bit deflated after that, Ryan.
Yeah,
because you didn't even say where it was coming from, how the game was going to go. You just hit me with a bullet that was 1-1, and I was really looking to end on a high, and you've really not offered that to me.
If we get a striker, I'll go for a 2-1 win.
Yeah, 2-1 win. I'm hoping for 3 points, Ryan. Either way, we'll be back at the same time. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Ryan Pitcher there from Under a Gaslit Lamp on The Villa Show, The Villa Takeover.
This is Love Sport.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.